The Living Church of God presents booklets on tape. 12 Keys to Answered Prayer by Roderick C. Meredith. Why does God not answer most people's prayers? Do you know how to pray in a way that will get real results? 12 Keys Edition 1.0, May 2001. Copyright 2001, Living Church of God, all rights reserved. Printed in the United States of America. This booklet is not to be sold. It has been provided as a free public educational service by the Living Church of God. Scriptures in this booklet are quoted from the New King James Version, copyright 1982, Thomas Nelson Incorporated Publishers, unless otherwise noted. Our recording engineer is Rayshon Sanoon. Reading by Jonathan Meredith.
12 Keys to Answered Prayer by Roderick C. Meredith. I know that what I'm about to say is not, quote-unquote, politically correct, but let me put it this way. Why should you expect the God of the Bible to answer the prayers of people who pray to some other God, who pray in a wrong manner, who regularly disobey the true God, who ask for the wrong things? The answer is simple. You should not. Make no mistake. You have no real reason to expect real answers to your prayers unless you pray to the true God in the right way. This may seem outrageous to those who take Christianity for granted, just another of the many religions in the world. But the truth is that literally millions of people in our Western, supposedly Christian world have no idea who the true God is or how they should pray to Him. Oh, I am quite aware that many people repeat some kind of, quote, mumbo-jumbo, end quote, or mantra to themselves, and end up feeling better. And since problems oftentimes work themselves out, many people feel that they have had an answer to their prayers, when they really have not. This often goes hand in hand with the practices of mind science, or the power of positive thinking. But that is not the kind of answer I am talking about in this booklet. What I mean is direct, divine intervention by the personal God of the Bible, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and active ruler of the entire universe. How can you and your loved ones get this kind of answer to your prayers? Although other points could be offered, I want to set forth a number of basic keys to answered prayer. I am positive that if you follow these points literally, sincerely, and wholeheartedly, you will begin to receive genuine answers to your prayers, and they may be so real and so forceful that it will surprise many who have never experienced this kind of power before. Key number one, pray sincerely to the true God. It is absolutely vital that you pray to the very real God of the Bible if you expect genuine answers to your prayers. He reveals Himself to mankind in many ways. In creation, in the Bible, in His foretelling specific divine intervention in world affairs, and in direct answers to those who seek and obey Him. The Apostle Paul was inspired to describe the true God in this way, quote, "For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live." End quote. 1 Corinthians 8, verses 5 through 6. In our modern, ecumenical approach to religion, we may think that praying to some vague blob off in the sky, or an idol of Buddha, is just the same as praying to the Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Israel, and Jesus Christ. But it is not the same at all. The true God was revealed by Jesus Christ, Matthew 11, verse 27. To one of His disciples He said, quote, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known Me? He who has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on My own authority, but the Father who dwells in Me does the works. Believe Me that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me." End quote. John 14, verses 9 through 11. we read of Jesus Christ acknowledging that God was a loving, divine person, a Father, and we see the Father acting through Christ to heal the sick, to comfort the downcast, to teach those whom he calls to keep the Ten Commandments as a way of life. Matthew 19, verse 17. This should certainly help us to better understand God's character and his desire for us. Christ also set an example for us in praying to the Father. Quote, Jesus Christ spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. End quote. John 17, verse 1. Again, when he taught his disciples the outline, the proper approach to prayer, he said, quote, In this manner therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. End quote. Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. So once again, Jesus revealed that the God to whom we should pray is a Father. And what does Christ reveal about him? He is, quote, in heaven, end quote. He has a kingdom or government that will be set up on this earth. He, as our Father, is one who can give us daily bread, forgive our sins, deliver us from Satan, and bring us into that everlasting kingdom, whom so very few even today are acquainted with. The Apostle Paul stated, quote, Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the whole world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men who dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. End quote. Acts 17, verses 23 through 26. We learn more about the true God from the Old Testament. The great Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, was told that he would be driven from his kingdom, quote, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses, end quote. Daniel 4, verse 32. And this God will not share preeminence with any other. He inspired Isaiah to write, quote, Look to me, and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath, end quote. Isaiah 45, verses 22 through 23. This is an awesome God, with limitless power and glory. When you get down on both knees and lift up your hands in prayer to the great Creator of the universe, you should think of to whom you are praying, and hallow or praise His name, as Jesus instructed. Remember that He is not only the Creator, but the active Governor of the entire universe, guiding the rise and fall of nations according to His will. He is the one in charge of the weather, sending, quote, rain in due season, end quote. See also Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. Or at times, drought and destruction upon those nations that must be punished. Verses 24 through 25. Yet, if you surrender to Him, obey and serve Him, God will become your loving Father, your protector, your healer, the giver of, quote, every good and perfect gift, end quote. James 1, verse 17. And the one who has abounding love and mercy, quote, For as the heavens are high above as the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As the Father pities His child, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust, end quote. Psalm 103, verses 11 through 14. Be sure you always pray specifically to this God, the true God, and no other. As you begin your prayer, think about whom you are praying to, and consciously worship this great God who gives you life and breath. Key number 2. Study the Bible. It naturally follows that praying to the true God involves believing what He says, and we find His words, instructing human beings how they should live, in the Holy Bible. It reveals essential knowledge that we could not acquire in any other way. It is God's instruction manual for humanity. It tells us who God is, what He is like, and how we ought to serve Him. In its pages, we find God's own instructions as to how we ought to pray to Him. But you will not receive this full instruction by just, quote, going to church, end quote, or by carelessly reading bits and pieces of the Bible for comfort or inspiration. God commands us in His Word, quote, earnestly study to show yourself approved to God, a workman unshamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, end quote. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. To know God, to understand His will, and to believe in His promises, you need to regularly study His inspired Word in an orderly way, just as you might study a science textbook or a volume on history. A good place to start is the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. Read this through slowly and carefully, noting what Jesus actually said, paying particular attention to the many examples of answered prayer. It is beyond the scope of this booklet to thoroughly prove the divine inspiration of the Bible. But if you really want to, you can prove that the prophecies given only in the Bible have either already been fulfilled in literal detail in the past, or are now beginning to be fulfilled in this exciting end-time age in which we live. When you understand the detail and the breadth of these prophecies, you can see that God practically signed His name to the Bible, clearly showing that this book is of divine inspiration. The Apostle Paul wrote, quote, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, end quote. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17. So when you read specific promises in the Bible, ask for the Almighty to fulfill them in your life. When you see that Jesus and others asked for certain things, realize that this is an example for you to follow. In all your prayers, follow the example of Christ and the apostles. Let your prayers be the same as theirs when you face similar trials and difficulties. What about King David of Israel and the other great prophets of the distant past? Their heartfelt prayers and the awesome deliverance God granted them likewise instructs us and bolsters our faith. Quote, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. End quote. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. One of the reasons King David was a man after God's own heart, 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, is not only that he obeyed God, but that he walked and talked with Him, and constantly worshipped and adored Him. You will clearly see this attitude all through the Psalms. Quote, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with lights as with garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. End quote. Psalm 104, verses 1 through 2 and verse 33. Leaving behind the memorized, often meaningless prayers of mainstream religion, begin to really study the teachings and examples relating to prayer in your own Bible. Let the inspired Word of God teach you how to pray and what to ask for, and believe the teachings and the promises you find in this holy book. Key number 3. Deeply repent of your sins. Although from time to time God hears the prayers of anyone who sincerely cries out to Him in time of need, He is not bound by His word to do this. That is why men and women, sickened by the horrors of war, have demanded, quote, where was God at the Battle of Leningrad when hundreds of thousands perished? end quote. They have asked, quote, where was the God when the Jews, Poles, Czechs, Danes, and Dutch were being herded into gas chambers in World War II, end quote. God's word answers, quote, behold, the Lord's hand is not short-ended that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear, end quote. Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 2. The same principle is found in the New Testament. A man Jesus healed of blindness stated, quote, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him, end quote. John 9, verse 31. It is not our job to psychoanalyze or, quote, spiritually dissect, end quote, those who have not had their prayers answered in the past. But we all have a duty to ask ourselves, quote, do I worship the true God? Do I do his will? End quote. Jesus said, quote, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments, end quote. Matthew 19, verse 17. Do you keep the Ten Commandments, or do you make excuses? The Apostle John was inspired to write, quote, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight, end quote. 1 John 3, verse 22. This New Testament scripture clearly shows us that we receive answers to our prayers when we keep God's commandments. Please be honest with yourself. It is easy to rationalize or to, quote, reason around this very clear scriptural teaching about obeying God's law. But if you want real answers to your prayers, you need to repent of breaking the Ten Commandments, which is defined as sin. 1 John 3, verse 4, King James Version. And you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Acts 2, verse 38. Then, through the help of the promised Holy Spirit, you will need to surrender more and more each day to let Jesus Christ live his obedient life in you. Keep in mind what the Apostle Paul declared, quote, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, end quote. Galatians 2, verse 20, King James Version. If you would like more information about how to obey God, please write for our vital and informative booklet titled Restoring Apostolic Christianity. It will be sent absolutely free upon request. As you grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3, verse 18, he will live his life in you more and more fully over the course of your Christian life. Certainly, you will not be perfect all at once. No human being has ever been perfect except Jesus Christ himself. But you will be walking in the way of the Ten Commandments by surrendering to him. By walking with Christ in this manner, you can be assured of having more powerful answers to your prayers than ever before. Key number 4. Forgive others. Another vital key to answered prayer is our willingness to truly forgive others. Frankly, our loving Father in heaven simply does not hear those who come to him in a spirit of revenge, bitterness, or hatred. Immediately after giving us the, quote, Lord's Prayer, end quote, the outline prayer describing the right general approach to talking to God, Jesus went to instruct his followers, quote, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses, end quote. Matthew 6, verses 14 through 15. The prophet Isaiah was inspired to warn us not to come into God's presence while oppressing others, accusing others, or being wrapped up in serving only the self. He wrote, quote, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, end quote. Isaiah 58, verses 9 through 10. Jesus gives us the same admonition, quote, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, there remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift," end quote. Matthew 5, verses 23 through 24. So we need to come to God in a humble, repentant, and forgiving attitude. Otherwise, as Jesus said, God will not forgive us. A spirit of humility and mercy is a key element in whether or not God will hear us as we pray. His inspired word tells us, quote, "But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word," end quote. Isaiah 66, verse 2. Key number 5. God often hears the unconverted. An important aspect of the above point about being merciful and forgiving others is the need to humbly realize that God often hears even the prayers of completely unconverted individuals who cry out to Him. Of course, we know that God has said, quote, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot serve, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear," end quote. Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 2. It is certainly true that God will virtually never hear those who are sinning and in a wrong attitude, but there are millions of sincere people who think they are truly worshiping God and are simply deceived. God himself allowed this. And in his inspired word, God explains that it is, quote, "the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world," end quote. Revelation 12, verse 9. Also, Jesus Christ tells us very clearly, quote, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." John 6, verse 44. If you would like more information on this vital topic, please write to us or call us and request a free copy of our eye-opening booklet, "Is This the Only Day of Salvation?" It is very important that we do not self-righteously assume that God only hears the prayers of those who are converted and are obeying Him. Again, what about those sincere people who are not yet called? And what about you and me before we are called and converted? As I look back on my own life, I definitely remember several times when God absolutely intervened in answer to my prayers. He was calling me. He was beginning to reveal himself as a real God by intervening in my life. He has done and will do the same for many, many others all over the world. Remember the story of the Pharisee and the publican in Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. Quote, "And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, quote, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess," end quote. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, quote, God be merciful to me, a sinner, end quote. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted, end quote. So the Creator will often hear the prayers of weak or spiritually blind people who humbly pray to Him. He will not hear them if they knowingly disobey or are in a wrong attitude. He will not hear those who directly pray to idols or to false gods. But our merciful Father will hear those who, though ignorant of His full revelation, sincerely cry out to Him as the Creator and the true God. The above understanding is beautifully expressed in Psalm 107, verses 23 through 24 and 27 through 31. Quote, "Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters. They see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still, and they are glad because they are quiet. So He guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. End quote. We all know of vain, disobedient, or even worldly professing Christians who frankly brag about answered prayer or tell wild stories of constant miracles in their church or in their lives. This religious boasting and even falsifying is a real detriment to true Christianity and could easily be a stumbling block to those being called who see through this sham. But if your friend or neighbor sincerely and heartfeltly prays to the God of heaven, he or she may be heard because God knows that their ignorance of His ways is not deliberate and that their sincerity is very real. Key number 6. Seek God's will. Another key to successful prayer is to be absolutely sure that, as far as possible, you align your will and your request with God's will. As you zealously study the Bible and yield to let Christ live within you, His will increasingly replaces your own. It affects how you pray. You come to realize that God has made all men and women in His image, that He will call all mankind to understanding and repentance in His time. With this in mind, you will not be praying just for your own good, but for the good of others as well. Then you can sincerely say to God, as Jesus did, quote, "Not my will, but yours be done," end quote. Luke 22, verse 42. Remember this key phrase from the outline prayer in Matthew 6, quote, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," end quote. Verse 10. We all need to focus on this as we pray. What is really best for us and everyone concerned in the long run? Only God knows for sure. On the other hand, the Bible contains literally dozens of promises and or direct indications of what God has done or will do in regard to answered prayer. If we pray in faith that God will hear us, and in accordance with His will, we may be sure that He is listening. Quote, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." End quote. 1 John 5, verses 14 through 15. Key number 7. Have faith in God. The more you drink in of the Bible, the more deeply you will realize the importance of faith. Quote, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." End quote. Hebrews 11, verse 6. So you cannot please God without real faith. And generally speaking, the Bible makes it clear that God will not hear and answer your prayers unless you come to Him in faith. Quote, "But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." End quote. James 1, verses 6 through 7. Like the other keys we have examined, building faith is accomplished by truly surrendering to let Jesus Christ live His life in you through the Holy Spirit. Quote, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." End quote. Romans 10, verse 17. So all of us need to constantly read the Bible and drink in of the examples of faith and obedience of the great men and women of God. In this way, we feed on Jesus Christ. John 6, verse 57. We come to think like He thinks, want what He wants, and through the Holy Spirit, He increasingly lives within us as we grow spiritually. Thus, united with Christ, we can have total confidence that God the Father will hear our prayers. And this absolute, Unwavering confidence in God is what faith is. Note carefully this vital teaching of Jesus Christ with respect to prayer and faith. Quote, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast to the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." End quote. Mark 11, verses 22 through 24. By continually drinking in of the Bible and praying for faith, you will find that your faith will increase more and more. Understanding that living faith is produced by God's Holy Spirit within us, Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. And Jesus said, quote, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" End quote. Luke 11, verse 13. God wants to give you these things if you humbly ask for them. So pray to Him continually to give you the faith you need. Learn to believe in the promises of God. Learn to believe that God is real, that He has perfect wisdom, perfect love, and perfect power. Realize that He will keep all His promises. Learn to imitate Abraham, the father of the faithful, Romans 4, verse 16. For he, quote, "did not waver at the promise of God through the unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform," end quote, verses 20 through 21. This is real faith. This is the attitude you must have to receive genuine answers to your prayers. Key number 8. Be persistent. If your son asks you just once for a bicycle and then seemingly forgets about it and never brings the subject up again, how deep is his desire for it? How much do you think he would appreciate it if he did get one? And so it is when we ask for something from our Heavenly Father. Before He supernaturally intervenes, God wants to know that we deeply desire whatever we ask for, and that we will respect and worship Him for answering our prayer. In other words, God uses our need or desire as a vehicle to draw us closer to Him spiritually, to cause us to focus on His will and on what is really best for us and for any others who might be involved. If we carelessly ask for something and then virtually forget that we ever did, what would that indicate? It might tell God that we are not at all interested in doing what we ask. Or it could be that all our desires are shallow, perhaps constantly changing, and that we would not feel a deep sense of appreciation and worship even if He constantly answered such shallow prayers. Perhaps you are familiar with Jesus' parable of the, quote, "unjust judge," Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. This is a story of a certain widow who kept coming and kept coming to the unjust judge until he finally said, quote, "Because this woman troubles me, I will avenge her," thus honoring her request, "lest by her continual coming she weary me," end quote. Verse 5. Then Jesus said, quote, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them?" End quote. Verses 6 through 7. When you have a really deep desire for something, you should cry out to God day and night, never giving up. God wants us to be persistent. He wants us to walk with Him, talk with Him, and commune with Him continually, day after day in this age, and ultimately throughout eternity. The Apostle Paul instructs us to, quote, "pray without ceasing," end quote, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. When I was courting my wife-to-be, I just could not spend enough time with her. We talked in person, we talked on the phone, and I thought and prayed about her until we finally married. The true church is pictured as the affianced bride of Christ. We need to spend a lot of time with Him and with the Father to become deeply acquainted. Remember, what we do in this life prepares us to spend eternity together with these two divine personalities. This is a real relationship, and, as with any other, it must be developed over time. So learn to pray regularly to God, spending enough time in prayer to become genuinely acquainted with Him. For He is the one in whom, quote, we live and move and have our being, end quote. Acts 17, verse 28. According to the Scriptures, Jesus often rose early in the morning and spent long, uninterrupted time praying to His Father. See also Mark 1, verse 35. The prophet Daniel rose to be one of the highest rulers of the great empire of his time, the Babylonian Empire. Nevertheless, he constantly took time to pray to God on his knees, three times each day. Daniel 6, verse 10. This relationship with the eternal God was so important to Daniel that he finally risked death in order to continue this vital part of his spiritual life. Verse 5 through 10. King David also customarily prayed three times each day to his Creator. Quote, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning, and at noon I will pray, and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. End quote. Psalm 55, verses 16 through 17. So pray regularly. Spend plenty of time communing with Jesus Christ and your Heavenly Father. And never, ever stop praying to God. For in more ways than one, your very life depends upon this contact. Key number 9. Pray fervently. I once knew an extremely dedicated and zealous servant of God who often said, quote, brethren, one of the reasons we in our modern society do not receive more answers to prayer is that we do not put our hearts into our prayers, end quote. One of the key scriptures he would cite was Hosea 7, verse 14, which describes one reason that God did not hear the prayers of the ancient Israelites. The Moffat translation perhaps renders this verse the most clearly, quote, they never put their heart into their prayers, end quote. What about us? Do you and I pray with our entire being? Or do we just rattle off a memorized prayer like some pagan chant? Or do we perhaps sleepily mumble a few half-hearted requests to God just before drifting off to sleep? Again, remember Jesus' example of getting up early to pray to the Father. For prayer was vitally important to Christ. That is why He apparently put it first on His schedule, before anything else could interfere. And He probably came back to God repeatedly as the day progressed. The book of Hebrews tells us about Christ's passionate, heartfelt prayers. Quote, who, in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications, with vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, was heard because of His godly fear, end quote. Hebrews 5, verse 7. It is good to go to a quote-unquote private place to pray just as Jesus instructed in Matthew 6. Alone, we can occasionally cry out to our Creator to help us, to chasten us, to deliver us from temptations or difficulties, where only the help of God Himself can fully take care of the situation. The last night of Jesus' human life, when He knew He was about to be arrested and crucified, He poured out His being to the Father in fervent prayer for help and deliverance. Quote, and being in agony, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. End quote. Luke 22, verse 44. Jesus was crying out to His Father in such an intense and passionate manner that some of His capillaries may have literally burst, filling certain sweat ducts with blood. In our modern, secular, hedonistic, laid-back society, we need to grasp that the truly vital issues of life are not material. Rather, they are spiritual, having to do with our Creator and with all eternity. They are certainly worthy of getting excited about. So let us put our hearts into our prayers. Let us be fervent. Let us be passionate as we pour out our hearts to the awesome personality who wants to be our real Father. Quote, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, end quote. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Key number 10. Ask God to fashion and mold you. A genuine man or woman of God is one who has totally surrendered to the will of the Creator. Through the prophet Isaiah, God tells us, quote, "But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word," end quote. Isaiah 66, verse 2. This attitude of seeking God's will rather than our own, of total submission to our Heavenly Father, is vital to our prayer life if we are to receive constant and powerful answers. Note again Jesus' attitude in one of his final prayers to God while he was still in this human flesh. Quote, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done," end quote. Luke 22, verse 42. Do you want to truly grow spiritually? Quote, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ," end quote. Ephesians 4, verse 13. If so, you, like we all, need to spiritually wrestle with God in our prayers as Jacob literally wrestled with him and prevailed. See also Genesis 32, verses 24 through 32. We need to engage him in long, thoughtful conversation about how we can more fully yield to him, walk with him, and honor him in all our lives. We need to constantly ask God to help us fulfill the great purpose for which we were born. Please write for our free booklet on this subject, titled Your Ultimate Destiny. It is fine within limits to pray for physical things, but the ultimate purpose of prayer is to help us focus on God, yield to Him, and surrender our will to His as we cultivate a vital, interactive relationship. In this way, He becomes increasingly real to us. Through constant and heartfelt Bible study and prayer, we must seek God's will. We must grasp that our past ideas and attitudes about God and religion in general need much improvement. God tells us through Isaiah, quote, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts," end quote. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9. And the Apostle Paul instructed, quote, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," end quote. Philippians 2, verse 5. Learn to walk with him, talk with him, quietly commune with him off and on all day long. Sincerely ask him to mold you into his own image. The prophet Isaiah was inspired to write, quote, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, which are the clay, and you are potter, and we are all the work of your hand," end quote. Isaiah 64, verse 8. The approach of yielding to God as you pray, of asking Him to rebuke and chasten and fashion you, is one of the vital keys to really powerful prayer. Key number 11. Give praise and thanks to Almighty God. Another of the qualities that made King David a man after God's own heart was the sincere love, worship, and adoration that he continually expressed toward the great Creator who blessed him, sustained him, and guided him. The entire book of Psalms is literally filled with David's prayers of worship and adoration. Notice Psalm 18, quote, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies," end quote, verses 1 through 3. Clearly, God, in the person of Jesus Christ, who was the Rock of Israel, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, was David's personal hero, his champion, his protector, and personal friend. David rejoiced and exulted in the wisdom, power, and majesty of the great God. Today, when tens of millions in our civilized Western world tends to virtually worship rock stars, rap stars, movie or television idols, aptly named, and sports celebrities, it has become unfashionable to worship and adore our Creator as David did. But rather than worshiping these vain, often misguided human stars, why not give praise to the great God who gives us life and breath, the Father of lights, who, as we have seen, who is the giver of, quote, "every good and every perfect gift," end quote. James 1, verse 17. Why not truly worship Jesus Christ, through whom God the Father created everything that is? See also John 1, verses 1 through 3, and Ephesians 3, verse 9. Why not worship the one who emptied himself of this divine glory in order to set us a perfect example? See also Philippians 2, verses 7 through 9, New Revised Standard Version. Why not worship our merciful and faithful High Priest? Hebrews 2, verses 17 through 18, who willingly died for us on the cross. Why not worship him? It is true that human beings want someone to, quote, look up to, end quote. But we are guilty of idolatry when we pervert this desire to worship, using it to idolize, or sometimes even to shout and scream and stand in awe of degenerate, God-rejecting men and women. Rather, we all need to redirect this hero worship, including the awe and sense of excitement it sometimes engenders, and rather worship the most truly exciting personality in the entire universe, Almighty God. We need to picture how God flung out the stars across the blackness of space, how he made this earth, put man upon it, and made us in his image to be his full sons, literal brothers of Jesus Christ forever. Romans 8, verse 29. We need to appreciate every beautiful sunrise and sunset, every moving work of music, art, or literature, every beautiful human being and the talents and love they possess, and realize that they all came from God. And he has a lot more in store for us. We need to constantly thank and praise God for every good gift and for his help and blessing in every situation. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Instead of losing control in our enthusiasm for sports figures, rock stars, or any other human idols, let us unashamedly pour out our whole being in thanking, praising, and worshiping the God who made us and who gives us life and breath. This is the God who forgives us time and time again, who guides and blesses us, and who in the end plans to share his eternal glory with us if we will only respond and learn to love him as he loves us. Key number 12. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ. In ancient Israel, the high priest alone was allowed to go into the most holy place of the tabernacle, or temple, which pictured entering into the direct presence of God. And even he was commanded to go there only once a year, on the Day of Atonement. See also Leviticus 16. With this sole exception on but one single day, anyone entering this sacred room would be immediately put to death by God himself. Likewise, mankind as a whole has been cut off from direct contact with God. But today, because Jesus of Nazareth died for our sins, true Christians have direct access to the Father. Instead of fearing death and coming before God, we are rather instructed, quote, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need," end quote. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Through the name, the office, and authority of Jesus Christ, we can directly approach God in prayer and worship. We do not need any human priest as a kind of intercessor, for we already have the greatest high priest, Jesus Christ. Verse 14. And he taught his true followers, quote, "Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full," end quote. John 16, verses 23 through 24. Of course, many misuse the name of Christ. For, citing Isaiah, Jesus described the religious teachers of his day, quote, "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men," end quote. Matthew 15, verse 9. Again Jesus said, quote, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" end quote. Luke 6, verse 46. To truly and correctly use Jesus' name, we must obey him and ask according to his will. Remember that in the Sermon on the Mount, Christ warned, quote, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. End quote. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Frankly, those who teach or practice lawlessness, preaching that obedience to the Ten Commandments is not necessary, are not authorized to use the name of Jesus Christ, for they are teaching and practicing a false Christianity that is completely contrary to everything that Jesus lived and died for. The Apostle John explained, quote, He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him, end quote. 1 John 2, verse 4. One does not genuinely know God, is not acquainted with God, unless he truly surrenders to let Christ live in him, practicing the Ten Commandments as a way of life. Likewise, you cannot know God unless you are growing, overcoming, and experiencing within your own life the very character of God that is expressed in these commandments. Those who do not really know the true God or his way are simply not capable of properly coming before him in the name of Jesus Christ. However, as we have seen, a merciful God will sometimes even hear the prayers of sinners if they are sincerely ignorant and if they turn to him with all their hearts. But for those who want consistent answers to their prayers, we must serve and obey the true God. As God's word tells us, quote, Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin, end quote. James 4, verse 17. So as you approach God in heartfelt, regular prayer, be sure you are obeying your Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Though he does not expect instant spiritual maturity, he does want us to walk in this way through the help of the Holy Spirit. Then come to the Father, through Christ alone, to make the direct contact of effective prayer. And remember that coming through Christ's name, that is, through his office or authority, includes most of the other keys to prayer given in this booklet. For coming fully and perfectly in Christ's name would certainly include praying to the true God, being filled with the Scriptures, obeying God, forgiving others, having deep faith in God, being persistent and fervent, learning to yield as malleable clay in God's hand, and heartily worshiping and adoring your Creator. Finally, for your own good, please study and review all of these vital keys. Learn to constantly pray to God, communing and walking with Him. Then, as the end of this age approaches and the awesome trials and tests of the full Christian life come upon you, as they surely will, you will know exactly what to do and how to do it. In fact, you will be able to follow Christ's own footsteps. Since he had cried out to God for strength and courage, he was not afraid when his time had come to die. In fact, as Judas and an entire detachment of troops came to seize him, Jesus calmly, quote, went forward, end quote, and asked them, quote, Whom are you seeking? End quote. John 18, verse 4. For Jesus had done what he always did. Earlier in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had fallen on his face and fervently prayed, calling out, quote, O my Father, end quote, Matthew 26, verse 39. God grant that you will learn to pray as Jesus did, for you should now understand how to use one of the most powerful tools in the entire universe. You have now been given real answers to unanswered prayer. 12 keys to answered prayer.